The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning, a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topic
and asks what you think.
So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
Coming up on 9:08 here on 660 AM, The Answer, Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark Davis. Mark on vacation this week. He'll return Monday. Between now and then, it's me and it's you, and it's your phone calls here in the last hour. It talked about there in the introduction you just heard, where it asks what you think. What do you think about this? According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, there are 2.8 million civilian employees on the federal payroll. That makes Uncle Sam the largest civilian employer in the world. And moreover, those employees are the world's best paid. The average federal salary is over $123,000 a year. That's about 80% more than the average in the private sector. Federal employees with only 3 years of service get a month's worth of paid vacation. Simply put, working for the federal government is the easiest, fastest, lowest risk way to enjoy an upper middle class lifestyle that culminates in a comfortable retirement. Federal employees know this. They are fiercely protective of their cushy deal. They don't like anybody who would even think in the dark of the night at 3 a.m. by himself of shrinking government. They want no part of that. That 3 million strong army of federal employees is the single biggest threat to Donald Trump. By extension, that means the single biggest threat to you, because presidents are proxies. Donald Trump is your proxy. They really stand in opposition to you. When Trump talks about draining the swamp, he ignores the swamp ecology at his peril. Elected politicians are the minority species in the swamp. The dominant species is bureaucratus perpetuus, the permanent, unaccountable, unfireable, and largely ungovernable federal bureaucracy. What do you think about that? 866-660-5759. You can thank government employee unions. This is really great how this works. The unions collect dues from federal employees, and then they pass those dues to complicit, mostly Democratic lawmakers in the form of campaign contributions. Duly bought and paid for congressmen and senators, in turn, pass laws creating complex rules regarding personnel policies for federal employees, rules so Byzantine, so complex, and so time-consuming as to make it nearly impossible to fire a non-productive, malfeasant federal employee. If you want an illustration of that, look back to 2014, the VA scandal that erupted in 2014, despite VA hospitals being exposed as having willfully neglected military veterans to the point of bringing about premature deaths, and despite being exposed as having engaged in a cover-up of that malfeasance, and despite having been caught creating fake records in order to make it appear that performance goals tied to bonuses were being met when they were not only not being met, they weren't even close to being met. And despite then-President Obama having said, "I won't stand for it, there must be consequences," there were, in fact, really no consequences. Only 3 civil service employees were fired in the wake of that scandal. One received a 15-day suspension. Another one was suspended, but the suspension was overturned on appeal. This is what we're up against. And it where that leads is from malfeasant behavior to criminal behavior, where you feel like if you're a federal employee, you can cross the line. And if you work in the Department of Justice, if you work for the FBI, you actually think it's okay to put your thumb on the scale and use the apparatus of law enforcement to affect the election in a way that you find fit, irrespective of what the people want. So Who do those federal employees vote for? They vote for Democrats. They don't vote for Donald Trump. They don't like Donald Trump. They will never vote for Donald Trump. Federal employees are all about growing government, and that never changes, no matter who sits in the White House. And that's a quote, by the way. That came from the American Federation of Government Employees Union, then President J. David Cox. Donald Trump made himself famous on TV for saying, "You're fired." We got to get to the place where we can fire federal employees. And Peter Strzok needs to be fired. They shunted him aside and put him in, you know, made him in charge of refreshments. Where does he work? The HR department of the FBI, which, if you're a federal agent, that's not much of a job. But why does he have a job at all? Why does he have this sinecure at all? And what are we going to do about this? 866-660-5759. Time to get rid of Pete Sessions. Not Pete Sessions. I'm sorry, Pete. I'm so sorry, Pete. Not you. We love you, Jeff Sessions, our missing Attorney General. Is it time for Donald Trump to admit his mistake and get rid of Jeff Sessions? My vote on that is yes. It's past due, Mr. President. It is time for you to remove Jeff Sessions. I love you. You've done a lot of things right. Jeff Sessions was a mistake. But what do you think? 866-660-5759. And by the way, just completely unrelated, how was your Father's Day? I am way late in the show here thanking my beautiful wife and my beautiful daughter, Bethany, my wife, Lee, for a wonderful day yesterday. It was the best Father's Day that I can remember. How was your Father's Day? How did you spend it? Did you feel like you were respected as a dad? Because I certainly did yesterday. I hope you did, too. This hour, from now till 10 o'clock, it's all about you and what you think about these questions. And also, one thing I raised in the first hour, if you weren't with us, the amount of profanity that's now in the public square. It was, at one time, in my growing up, nobody would have even thought to do what Robert De Niro did last week on the nationally televised Tony Awards by dropping F-bombs about President Trump. It just wouldn't have happened, even no matter how the individual felt about whoever was sitting in the office as president. We just didn't talk that way, and we've gotten so coarse in our language. Is it time for us to clean up our language? And how much profanity do you use, and do you need to use less? I will answer that question. Too much, and yes. Too much profanity, and yes, I need to clean up my act a little bit. What about you? Have we just got to where we accept profanity, and should we dial it back? I kind of think we should, given what we hear from the likes of Robert De Niro and Kathy Griffin and seemingly everybody else, mostly on the left, as they decry the fact that we, the people, chose Donald Trump over Hillary Clinton, whom they were convinced not only we were going to choose, that we absolutely should have chosen to be our president. They have not yet gotten over it here a year and a half later. And Donald Trump is, he's not subtle. He is not conventional. He is not like any president any of us has ever seen. But gosh, look at the results he's getting. You know, we've got North Korea at the table. I don't know how that'll turn out, but when have they ever been meaningfully at the table before? It has not happened. We were told by President Obama we were going to have to live with ISIS. ISIS has been pushed out of Syria and largely defanged. They're not gone yet, but they are not we are not seeing the weekly attacks by ISIS that we did in the last years of the presidency of Barack Obama. The economy is off and running. The Atlanta Federal Reserve says we could grow by as much as 5% in 2018 for the balance of the year. We were told as recently as 2 years ago that the new normal was 1.5%, sub 2%. The economy is off and running. If you have money in the market, your IRA is looking pretty good. We've gotten great results under this president, even though he is not the least bit subtle, and he offends people, and sometimes he's very intemperate in his remarks. I'll take it, given the fact that we're addressing problems that we have not addressed for so long, and that includes maybe a blunderbuss approach with respect to the imposition of tariffs on our friends and our not-so-friendly friends in China alike. The president is taking decisive action. And the fact that he's doing so after so many presidents before him have not, I think, is a real breath of fresh air. But what do you think? 866-660-5759. Far and away, my big hobby horse today is we have got to get the federal bureaucracy under control. These people do not think they work for us. They think that we work for them. They see us as subjects, and they see themselves as lords. They do not see themselves as servants. They do not see us as masters, and we nominally are their masters. That's the way it's supposed to work. It's not working now. What do you think? 866-660-5759. From now to the top of the hour, it's all your calls. Back to the phones we go. Billy in Fort Worth, you're next on the Mark Davis Show. Go.
Hello, Mr. Davis. You're talking about that actor De Niro using bad
Hold it. No, it's not Mr. Davis. I'm Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark Davis.
Okay. Well, see, hey, our president used something. He's a president. This guy was just an actor. But Donald Trump is profanity, and talking about draining the swamp. Donald Trump is the swamp.
When has he gone at a press conference, at a speech, at a public appearance, and unloaded F-bombs? Tell me when that's happened, Billy, because I haven't seen it. I missed it. Tell me when that's happened.
I guarantee it was on TV.
Where was it, Billy? Where was it on TV?
I tell you what. It was on.
On what event? What day? When did it happen?
I don't know what day it was, but he was on. I guarantee you, the people listening to you know when he used bad language on TV. Man, Trump lying to say anything. And you know what's bad? Mr. Trump is all right for him to be like that, but he's leading a lot of you people like that. And y'all following him like chicken with your heads cut off.
But okay, you're
following the great white hope. He going to let you down. God bless you. Bye.
I don't even know how to respond to that. Goodbye to you, Billy, and have a nice day with you. Okay, and there we have a clear example of TDS, Trump Derangement Syndrome. Do I think that President Trump uses four-letter words? Absolutely, I do. I'm sure he does. You should have heard Lyndon Johnson. The guy swore like a sailor, and so did Richard Nixon, and so do all presidents, but probably not Jimmy Carter. But we use four-letter words in our society, but good gosh, to the extent that we're hearing it from celebrities in wearing tuxedos and gowns, talking like they're in a pool hall somewhere, in what should be refined events, and engaging in discourse about public policy, and the language is so nasty. And it seems to be they think that if they use a lot of profanity, it makes the point better. And I think it's having the opposite effect. Rob Reiner, by the way, over the weekend, Rob Reiner took Robert De Niro to task. He says, you know, when you behave like that in public, you're actually having the perverse effect, from his perspective, having the perverse effect of driving people toward the direction of Donald Trump because they're offended by the behavior. And for once, I think Meathead is right. I think Rob Reiner is correct in that. It's so offensive that you say, well, maybe I can't hang with that. And it just makes the person at whom you are hurling such invective, it makes that person look better. And Rob Reiner took exception to Robert De Niro talking that way, and I happen to think that Rob Reiner is correct. But what do you think? 866-660-5759. Your call is coming up after the break here at 660 AM, The Answer. 9:26 here on your Monday morning, June the 18th, 2018. Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark Davis. Between now and the top of the hour, it's your calls and what you think about the issues we've raised, including what does Trump do about the permanent federal bureaucracy that is out to sink his boat and sink yours with it. Your thoughts on that and whatever else comes to your mind, 866-660-5759. Toward that end, we say hello to Marcy in Dallas. You're next on the Mark Davis Show.
Hi there.
Hello.
All right. Free trade for everybody that's doing right. Thieves like China. You know, they're substandard. The steal. So cheaters and thieves pay tariffs. As far as the four-letter words, I haven't heard Trump say four-letter words addressing people since he's been president. Maybe he did before, but since he's been in that office, I haven't heard it. I don't follow him around. But
I haven't heard him drop. You know, we do. Joe Biden did. You know, remember big effing deal he said one time. That's not even the point whether or not he uses profanity. You know, high percentage of us use profanity, but it's reached the place now where you have to be. You're sitting watching a show about recognizing achievement in theater, and you have to be subjected to it. And has that not gone too far? I mean, can we just keep it clean and polite company?
Apparently, Robert De Niro can't.
Obviously, he can't. And, you know, Kathy Griffin, it's just, I saw her and she did an appearance here in Dallas several years ago at the Mort Meyerson Symphony Center. And I didn't know a lot about her. I'd seen her on cable TV where she was working clean at that particular time. On some shows, she was working clean, funny as she could be. I thought, this girl's got it. She has the comic gift. I went and saw her show live on stage at the Mort Meyerson Symphony Center. It was the foulest, most filthy, most offensive thing I've ever seen. And I have to tell you, Marcy, I'm just going to confess, it's hard to offend me in that regard. I can take it. This was so toxic. As I was telling Rhonda K. Moreland, our producer here earlier this morning, if I hadn't had to climb over six or seven people in order to get out, I would have left. It was that bad. And why is it necessary? Why can't you make your point against the president that you don't like without all of that profanity and without the F-bombs and the scatological references and all that?
I can tell you why that is. Because when you're talking to a liberal and you're telling them they're stupid, it doesn't have the same impact as if you put a four-letter word in front of it. So they think everybody's that way.
Well, evidently they can't make the point without, you know, resorting to intense profanity, and that makes kind of the argument maybe their point's not that strong. Because if you can't make the point in civilized language, maybe you don't have much of a point.
Well, they don't. I mean, that's obvious. They have nothing except character assassination and projecting what they are actually doing themselves onto the victims they're doing it to. That's what they do. And it drives people like me crazy. So I don't even watch Hollywood, and it drives people crazy that I call it Hornywood. And I know there are some good people there. But I vote with my dollars. I'm particular what products I buy. I don't have much money, but I spend it as wisely as I can.
That is actually the best way to get their attention. Marcy, thanks so much for your call. That opens up a line, 866-660-5759. More of your calls coming up after the news. Don't go away. Coming up on 9:36 here on 660 AM, The Answer. Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark Davis. Mark on vacation this week. He will return on Monday. But I'm with you all week, taking your calls on a lot of the things we've raised this morning with respect to topics. The one that's on my mind is, how do we regain control of the permanent federal bureaucracy? What needs to happen next? We now learned from the Inspector General's report on the Justice Department and its handling of the investigation into the Hillary Clinton emails that the people that are nominally our servants aren't our servants at all. They don't see themselves as in any way subservient to us. What do we need to do about that? 866-660-5759. 500 and some odd days into the Trump presidency, if the election were held today, would you vote for him again? I think I know the answer to that. But if the answer to that question is yes, why would you vote for him again? Why'd you vote for him the first time? Why would you vote for him a second time if the answer to that question is yes? 866-660-5759. You know, if you're a personality voter, as a lot of people are, in my opinion, too many people are, you probably can't stand Donald Trump. And people that dislike Donald Trump, they don't dislike him, they hate him. And that hatred is almost totally rooted in distaste for his personal characteristics. The objections to Donald Trump revolve around his past episodes of vulgarity and sexism, his often intemperate tweets, and his very outspoken, very rough verbal treatment of those who oppose him. The people that don't like Donald Trump dislike him personally, more than they've disliked any president personally in a long, long time, and that would include Richard Nixon. We just haven't had a president like Donald Trump before. We've had some that, you can say in the same breath. Harry Truman was blunt, very often very coarse, and he was a profane guy. Nobody remembers that John Tyler was – nobody knows anything about the John Tyler presidency, but if you read about him, you find out that he was very, very much more intemperate in his behavior than Donald Trump. But it is true enough today to say that few of us alive have seen a president anything remotely like what we have with Donald Trump now. So with that said, are you glad you voted for him if you did? And would you vote for him again if the election were held tomorrow, it being a Tuesday? If it were held tomorrow, would you vote for him again? 866-660-5759. And if you would vote for him again tomorrow, why? What has he done that has made him worthy of a second vote? Donald Trump's presidency stands in such contrast to the presidencies of recent memory. And, can you imagine Mitt Romney having the same effect on Kim Jong-un that Donald Trump has? Can you picture that? I can't. Can you picture Mitt Romney going toe-to-toe with Xi Jinping the way Donald Trump has? Can you picture that? I can't. His personality is confrontational. His personality is abrupt, very often abrasive, and a lot of people don't like it. So if you're a personality voter, you probably can't stand Donald Trump. If you're a policy voter, maybe he's your guy. What we almost never hear, though, from people who vigorously and viscerally hate Donald Trump is hatred based on objection to his policies. I think people that voted against Donald Trump that have jobs and get a paycheck every 2 weeks are happy that the withholding from those paychecks is less than it was before Donald Trump took office. I haven't heard a lot of real substantive objection from people who are taking home more pay in their paychecks every week. You find yourself in a debate with a Trump hater, pardon me, as I do on occasion. It's an occupational hazard if you're in this line of work. I've found that you can really bring that debate to a pretty quick conclusion if you talk about what his policies have done. Since he has taken office, the U.S. economy has taken off in ways that we were told only recently during the Obama years was no longer possible. We were told that sub 2% economic growth was a new normal in the United States. We were just going to have to get used to it. The economy's now gone 6 quarters with near or above 3%. The Atlanta Federal Reserve is particularly bullish. They're saying we're going to have economic growth in the United States for the balance of the year somewhere in the neighborhood of 5%. That at one time was absolutely unthinkable. People on our side, on the right, were saying that we just have seen the last 2 days of the United States with regular 3% compound economic growth, and yet look where we are 500 days into the Trump administration. So if you're a policy voter, would you vote for him again? 866-660-5759. Sean in Round Rock, you are next on the Mark Davis Show. Go ahead.
Would you vote? Hey.
Turn your radio down. Turn your radio down there, Sean. You're going to get bollocked up by the delay.
All right. Is that better?
That's better. Off you go.
All right. Well, first of all, good morning to you, and thank you for taking my call. It's a privilege and an honor to be able to speak with you. I think you're filling that role real well this morning. And
thank you.
I know you're going to do a good job the rest of the week. So let me make it quick, though. Thank you once again.
Yes, sir.
Look, would I myself vote for Mr. Trump again? I voted for Mr. Trump. I'm very fortunate to be a part of such a wonderful nation like the USA. In spite of all the little things we have going on, I still think this is the greatest country on God's green earth.
I agree with you.
Would I vote for Donald Trump again? Emphatically, yes.
Tell me why.
Here's the thing. Man, when I look at our economy and the direction that it has taken from the previous administration, it is very impressive what this guy has been able to do in such a short period of time. And I think a lot of American people don't understand this because they're looking at maybe previous things about this gentleman, how he was. Man, look, let's get off of that. Let's look at what the guy's doing right now for the American people, not only here on domestic soil, but even on foreign soil. This guy is creating and causing things to happen like we need it to happen here for the U.S. and also for people that are across the globe as well.
Well, I agree with you, and I don't think even those who supported Donald Trump, and I'll confess, I was not an early supporter. I was not an early supporter. When it became clear that he was going to win, I became a supporter immediately.
Yes,
I never waffled on that. It was a binary choice. When it became a binary choice between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, I was all in on Donald Trump. But I will confess, I was not an early supporter. But you know, but I don't think even his early supporters expected him to be as good a foreign policy president as he's turning out to be.
Right. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's amazing what he's been able to accomplish internationally. And I know all the people, all the guys, the leaders of the G7 are all upset with him right now. That's probably telling you that he's doing the right thing.
Exactly. I totally agree, because here's the thing. With all the woofing from the celebrities and woofing from a lot of the people on the left side, you know this guy got to be making a tremendous impact, man. Because to get the amount of backlash, you know, one thing I remember, and I know this is not a Christian station per se, well, you know, you teaching the word or anything, but I remember something a pastor said some years ago, and I thought he was on or something. He said, if you really want to know something is worth following, look at the amount of backlash that it's getting. The amount of backlash that it's getting. This guy's getting such – you've never seen the amount of backlash that any president – that has ever, I mean, other than Reagan may have gotten some, you know, here a little bit, there a little bit with some administration. But for the most part, this guy's gotten the most.
You're right.
Right. And I'm not going to make it a personal thing with Hillary Clinton. I'm not going to do that. But honestly, I have to say that I'm very glad that she is not the president of the United States. I have to say that, man. Honestly, I don't have any ill will against her. I'm not going to hate on her, wish her any bad or anything like that, but I am going to say that I am very grateful that Americans stood up and said enough is enough, because it would have still been the same thing from the Obama administration. Like they say, the same soup warmed over, but it would just been spoiled. So, you know, that's just my take on it. Thank you for taking my call.
Hey, Sean,
and all your listeners as well, man.
Thank you. Before you go, who did you vote for in the election in 2012?
Oh, man, let me tell you something, man. I had a great awakening, man, because the thing about it is I have to really say that I did make a mistake in my voting during that administration. But at the tail end, I began to open up my eyes and begin to see some things that were not correct. So thank God for being awakened, man, to what was taking place, so I can actually change the course of how I see things politically and what needs to be done in society.
What did the Obama administration do that caused you to open your eyes, Sean?
Well, I mean, here's the thing, my man. Here's the thing. You know, you saw a lot of the things that have been coming out with the IG report. You know, a lot of things like that. And here's the thing, man. You know, I, when you start looking at a lot of the things that was taking place, you know, on the media, because I wasn't really paying attention to what was going on. I'm just going to be honest with you. I really wasn't. I was being a little passive and just kind of being lackadaisical from politics and just saying, okay, man, let's just vote for who, blah, blah, blah. And that's a huge mistake. And I think people really need to understand it. But just all the things that I begin to see with the Obama administration, as they begin to fold up the tarmac meeting with Bill Clinton and Loretta Lynch and the IRS with the young lady who
Lois Lerner,
you know, doing a lot. You know, I started paying attention. I said, wait a minute, hold up just a minute here, man. This doesn't seem, something seems to be fishy here. So I began to investigate for myself and look into some things and realize that actually that administration was taking more away from the American people than it was giving to the American people. It was given more so to their enemies, almost like, and taken away from the citizens here that, you know, that needed to be given to.
Well, Sean, let me tell you what. God bless you, man, for making an informed decision and for thinking on your own. God bless you for that. And thank you very much for a great call. That opens up a line at 866-660-5759. Barry in Richardson, you're next on The Mark Davis Show. Go.
Yeah, the only thing I've got to say is everybody's complaining about Trump being wishy-washy in North Korea. Well, you know, North Korean people is the one that needs to put him in jail and convict him. It has nothing to do with Trump. I met Trump years ago, and I was in real estate myself. He's doing this the way that we all did in real estate. You keep your friends close, you keep your enemies even closer, and you always make sure that the guy that you're talking to respects you and to respect them.
Well, I think it's very I cannot see how anybody could object to what Donald Trump has been saying to and about Kim Jong-un subsequent to their meeting. How in the world, the complaint being that he's gotten too nice, that he's treating Kim Jong-un with kid gloves, that he's sucking up to him, that he's kowtowing to him. I think you're exactly right, Barry. He was tough as nails and said really tough things about Kim before the meeting. Now you're trying to persuade the guy to continue on a course of action that you want him to continue on. You don't do that by insulting him. You reward his good action. That's just as obvious as it can be. And that anybody would say otherwise, they're saying it purely because of their inherent and obvious political biases against Donald Trump. I think the way he is treating Kim Jong-un, you want to see that treatment turn on a dime. Let Kim Jong-un back off of what he said at the meeting and start trying to screw us again the way he has and the way his father did for so many years. Let that happen and watch what Donald Trump says.
Well, he's scared to death. Kim's scared to death of Trump because Trump looks him in the eye and smiles at him, and that scares him to death. And to have the power that we've got as far as our weaponry is concerned, if he's not stupid, which I don't think the guy's crazy at all, I think all he's done is just follow a path that's gotten him in this position, and now he's realizing that he's going to not survive the next day if he does something wrong.
Well, I think he's realizing that we have a resolute occupant in the Oval Office, and with respect to being able to live with a nuclear rogue regime in the Pacific Rim like that, Donald Trump is he's absolutely correct about this. We cannot live with it. It's simply something we cannot live with. We cannot live with Kim Jong-un, the dictator of a failed state, having nuclear weapons with which he can blackmail our allies or inflict harm directly upon us. We can't live with it, and the president has very resolutely taken that position. And I think, for once. We have a bad guy who looks at the president and says, that guy's serious, and I better take him seriously, and if I don't, it will be at my own peril. I don't think Kim Jong-un is doing what he's doing because he suddenly turned into a good guy. I think he's doing what he's doing because he realizes that there will be severe consequences if he doesn't change his behavior. I think that's what's happened. And if it has happened, if it turns out that way, the world will be a better place for it. Barry, great call. Thanks for calling. Have a great day. And
yes,
we appreciate it. That is that opens the line at 866-660-5759. Back to wrap it up after the break here. Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark Davis on The Mark Davis Show, 660 AM The Answer. Quite back to Mark Davis. Back to Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark Davis. He'll be here all this week. Mark is on vacation. He will return on Monday. You know, if Mitt Romney had been on the ticket in 2016, or Jeb Bush, or John Kasich, or Ben Carson, or even Rick Perry, or go down that list, that Vordire that we had of Republican candidates, they all, any one of them, would have been clobbered by Hillary Clinton in the general election. The only way we have gotten a growing economy again and gotten some of these foreign policy questions under control is to have a somewhat uncouth, brash guy like Donald Trump do what he had to do in order to beat somebody that people thought couldn't be beaten. That's the takeaway from all of this. Hey, thanks to technical wizard Shane Bell for pushing the buttons, keeping the lights flashing the way they should this morning. Thanks to Rhonda K. Moreland, producer, who keeps Mark Davis going and has the unenviable task of keeping me going. Thanks so much for listening this morning. I'll be back tomorrow here on the Mark Davis Show. It's 6:60 a.m. The Answer. Go out and make it a great day. God bless you and God bless America.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.